Hello and welcome back. My name is Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Megillah. These recordings are a joint project of the OU Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We are on Daf Yud Bet Amud Aleph, that's 12a, and we are smack dab in the middle of the page. We are 22 lines up from the bottom, right across from the Rashi that says Pikeach Haya. Right in the middle of the line. So the Megillah is continuing, the Gemara is continuing its analysis of the Megillah. We're in the first chapter and we're describing Ahasuerus's party. So it says that Ahasuerus made a party for 180 days. And then after those 180 days, he made a separate party for the people of Shushan that was 7 days long. And it says that he made that party Bachatzar Ginat Bitan HaMelech, in the courtyard of the garden of the palace of the king. And then it describes the accoutrement of the party. It says that that the party was decorated with chur, which we're going to analyze in the Gemara, but it's maybe a white fabric, karpas, which is a kind of a fine cotton, utchelet, and beautiful blue, Tyrolean blue string, achuz b'chavli vutz v'argaman, that was fastened with cords of fine linen and purple, that's the royal purple, agli lechesef, on silver, silver rods and pillars of marble. There were beds of gold and silver, mitot zahav achesef, and there was a floor that was made of checkered pavement of alabaster, marble, pearl, and other precious stones, and they drank from golden vessels and all types of different v'chelim mikelim shonim, all types of different drinking vessels. V'yein malchut rav, the wine of the king was abundant, kiyat ha-melech, like the hand of the king was very generous, but at the same time, v'yashtiyah chadat, the drinking was according to the law, ein ones, there was no forcing, everybody only drank as much or as little as they wanted, kichen yisad ha-melech, that's how the king decreed on his the members of his household, that everyone should drink as much or as little as they wanted to. So that's the description of Ahasuerus's party, and for the next daf or so, we're going to go through it line by line. So the Gemara begins, Bachatzar Ginat Bitan HaMelech. And the problem they have is that there are three types of locale described here. A chatzer is a courtyard, an outer courtyard, which is an empty place where you can have a cocktail party. A gina is a garden, and that's a place of planting, but it's more outside than a courtyard. And a bitan is like a palace, or the, you know, perhaps the house, the place where the king sits. So there are three different locations. Rav Shmuel. So Rav and Shmuel have a disagreement about this. Chad Amar, one of them said, Haraui lechatzer, those who were of the right social status to be in the courtyard, lechatzer, they were in the courtyard. That was a lower social status. Haraui legina, those who were of the right social status for the garden, legina, were in the garden. And then the highest social status, haroi lebitan, those who were of a status for the palace, lebitan. So there were three levels of tickets. And depending on how exalted you were, depending on which party you got to go into. That's the opinion of one of them. The other one, v'chad amar, and one says, hoshivan v'chatzer, they meant to have the party in the courtyard. V'lo hechaziktan, but there were too many people. Everybody wanted to go to this party, and it was it could not hold them. Begina, so they did overflow into the garden. V'lo hechaziktan, and it didn't hold them either. Ache hechnisan lebitan, they had to have people even in the palace. V'hechaziktan, and that was enough. So it overflowed all the way into the palace. B'matnita Tana, in another Mishnah, it learns slightly differently. Hoshivan bechatzer, the party was in the courtyard. Upatach lahem shnei ptachim, and then there were two doorways from the courtyard. Echad legina, one went outside to the garden. Ve'echad lebitan, and one went inside to the palace. That's how they describe it. What it means or what the deeper meaning is, I cannot say, but we'll start with that. The next phrase that the Gemara looks at, beginning of the next line, is chur karpas utchelet. So the Gemara is going to explain what are these three types of adornment. My chur, what is chur? Rav Amar, Rav says, chari chari. He interprets chur as from the language of chor, which means a hole. So this is some kind of lattice work or mesh, where there's some fabric and some hole. That's how he interprets it. Shmuel Omar, and Shmuel says, Milat Levana, that it means a white kind of fabric, Kitzia Lahem, he gave them. So the chairs were draped in a sort of a white fabric. The Maharsha suggests that if from Milat Levana, maybe it's related to the word Chorin. It had a kind of like at a Passover Seder, you know, it made you feel like you were a free man, like, you know, by lounging on this expensive fabric. The next word is Karpas, which is an interesting connection to Pesach. One of the only places that we mention it is here in the Megillah and then at our Pesach Seders. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina said, Karim shel pasim, that these were pillows that had stripes in them, or perhaps what they call piebald. They were two different colors of pillows. Al Galile Chesef is the next line in the Megillah on silver rollers, Ve'amude Sheish, and marble pillars, mitot zahav v'chesef, and there were golden beds. These were like divans that you lied on, like couches, golden and silver couches. Tanya, we have a braita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, ha-ra'ui la-kesef, la-kesef, those who were of a lower social status, not low, but, you know, medium social status, they sat on the silver couches. Ha-ra'ui la-zahav, and those who were worthy of gold status, la-zahav, they sat on the gold divans. Amar lo Rabbi Nechemia, Rabbi Nechemia said to him, Im Kain, if Achashverosh had done that, that's the abbreviation Aleph Kaf, Im Kain, if so, Ata Matil Kina Bisuda, you would create resentment and jealousy in the party. Some, you know, you'd have different tiers of people. The people on the silver couches will be jealous of the people on the gold couches, and they would get into fights. So instead he interprets differently. Elahem Shel Kesef, the couches themselves were made of silver, v'raglehen shel zahav, and their feet were made of gold. Tosfot asks, how come they weren't going to be jealous of each other if they were, if some of the above it said some of the people were only could get a ticket to go into the garden, and some only a ticket into the courtyard, and only the special ones could get a VIP ticket into the palace. And he says, well, it's different when it's not right in front of your face. Like, you know that the VIP party is in the other room, but if you're sitting right next to each other on gold and silver couches, it creates a higher level of resentment. The next line in the Megillah is Bahat Vashesh, these next two kinds of materials. So Amar Rabbi Yossi says that what it means is Avanim Shemitchotetot al Ba'alehen. This was the floor work. These are the kinds of stones that, the way Rashi understands it is one of two ways. Either that they're very, very difficult to polish and smooth, so that Chatat is like a crease. It's so hard to do that, you know, you have to really work hard at it. Or that it's something that is so expensive that the person who buys them has to work really hard, has to become creased, get wrinkled from all their labor to get enough money in order to buy these stones. So very expensive paving stones. That's how the Gemara understands it. Pshat there is that Bahat Vashesh means something else. That it means, alabaster and marble, but that's how the Gemara understands it slightly differently. Okay, V'chein hu omer, and they quote a verse that's similar to this. The verse is in the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 16. Avnei Nezer, the stones of the crown, mitnosisot al admato. They are flashing on his ground. So mitnoseis probably comes from the word nes, which means to be visible or to flap like a banner. But here Rashi says it's from the word nisayon, that to acquire these things requires a great deal of testing oneself and working hard to get them. Okay, Rav Amar, Rav says differently. He gives a different explanation. The next phrase in the Megillah is vidar v'socharet, which is the end of verse 6 in the Megillah, and translated here as pearl and precious stone. Rav says, dari dari, that it doesn't mean pearl, it means rows, that they were set in rows. Ushmuel Amar, Even Tova Yesh Bekarche Hayam, there is a precious stone in the far reaches of the sea. Vidara Shema, it's called Dara, which is the word Vidar. Hoshiva be'emsa se'uda, they put it in the middle of the banquet hall. Umeira lahem katzaharaim, and it shone like the middle of the day, even at night. So, you know, that kind of sounds like they had a disco ball in the middle of Ahasuerus' party, some kind of radiant stone that would illuminate the room. Devei Rabbi Yishmael Tana, in the academy of Rabbi Yishmael, they learned it differently. So far we've had two interpretations of the word dar. One is that it was in rows. One is that it was a special stone called a dara. This is the third one, shekara dror, that the word dar comes from dror, which means freedom. And it was dror l'chol bali schora. That's how he explains dar v'sochara. Dar means dror, sochara it's for schora, that Ahasuerus in the time of his party called a moratorium on taxes and tariffs, so that all the people who were in business got a bonus at that time. So that's part of what the party was. The next line, and this is a very famous line in the Megillah, is v'hashkot bichlei zahav, he gave them to drink with golden vessels, v'chelim, and vessels mikelim shonim, from different kinds of vessels. Usually we read this when we read the Megillah in the Echatrap, because we have this tradition, which we'll see right now, that these were the vessels that had been taken from Yerushalayim, and Ahasuerus was using them in his party. As we saw in the previous daf, Ahasuerus had made a calculation that the 70 years were up, and that if Hashem had not rebuilt the Beit HaMikdash, that he had given up on the Jewish people, and now he felt that it was perhaps safe to use the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash. So the Gemara asks, Mishunim mi ba'alei? Shouldn't it have said, instead of v'chelim mikelim shonim, it should have said v'chelim mikelim mishunim? So therefore it's available for a drasha, it's not the usual word. Amar Rava, Rava says, yatzda bat kol, a heavenly voice came out, the Amr Lahem, and it said to them at the party, Rishonim kalu, the earlier ones were destroyed. And here he's talking about Belshazzar. Mipnei kelim, because of these vessels. Belshazzar had wrongly thought that the 70 years were over in his reign, and he took out the vessels to use them, and God killed him on that very night. V'atem shonim, and you should add the word v'shotin bahen, and you are also now going to repeat the mistake and drink from them. So in other words, he's saying, you are making a big mistake, and as we know, on this night, Vashti is killed for the same reason. Okay, v'yein malchut rav, the wine of the king was abundant. Amar rav, Rav said, melamed shekol echad ve'echad hishkehu yayin, that every person was given wine, shegadol himenu b'shanim, that was aged for longer, for more years than he was old. In other words, people were drinking wine that had been aged for longer than they were alive, and that's what it means, rav, that it was aged wine. The ashtiyacha dat, and the drinking was according to the rule. Dat usually means a rule, but it can also mean religion. And some people add the words anones, but it's in parentheses, so we usually skip it. It's the next two words in the verse. My chedat, what does it mean according to the rule? Amar Rabbi Hanan, Mishum Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Hanan said in the name of Rabbi Meir, kedat shel Torah. What it means is that they drank religiously, and not just religiously, but they drank according to the rules of the Torah, according to the halacha. Ma dat shel Torah, what is the rule of the Torah? Achila meruba mishtia. Eating is more than drinking. And this is derived from the sacrifices. The proportions of the sacrifices, there is always more flour and more meat than there is wine. So when the food on the sacrifice is more eating than drinking, so too the halacha is that we're supposed to eat more than we drink. It's kind of interesting question of whether what they're saying about Purim, maybe our Purim Seudas also should have more eating than drinking. But some people have more drinking than eating. Af sudaso shel oto rasha, so the meal of that wicked person, achila meruba mishtia, his eating was done more than his drinking. And why would Ahasuerus, who was such a wicked guy, follow the rule of the Torah for eating more than drinking? So the Maharsha suggests that he was afraid by using the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash, that was enough of a risk. So he felt that he should, in other ways, he should not be risky. He should follow the rules of the Torah and try not to overly upset Hashem, basically. Anoness is the next two words in the Megillah. There was no compulsion. Nobody was forced to drink what they didn't want to drink. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, Melamed, this comes to teach, Shekol echad ve'echad hishkeu miyein medinato, that every person was given wine from his own country. Now, assuming these are all people from Shushan, but maybe they came from different backgrounds and they moved to Shushan. So if you were, wherever you came from, you were given a vintage of the land that you were used to, and that was what you were accustomed to. You weren't forced to drink foreign wine. The next words in the Megillah are, La'asot kirtzon ish va'ish, to do according to the will of each and every man. And that's a theme of the Megillah, that every man should be able to do what he wants. Freedom, you know, the freedom to do what he wants. So Amar Rava, Rava says, La'asot kirtzon Mordechai v'Haman. What does it mean, ish va'ish, a man and a man? Well, we have two men. So here we have Mordechai and Haman. So what it really means here is that this Seuda was about Mordechai and Haman. Mordechai dichtiv ish Yehudi. Mordechai is called a man because he's a Jewish man. That's how it describes him when he's first introduced. And Haman, when Esther calls him out in front of Ahasuerus right before he gets hung on the gallows, she calls him an ish tzar ve'oyev, this troublesome and enemy man. So this, you know, Rashi says actually that Haman and Mordechai were the Sarei HaMashkim. They were the ones pouring the drinks at this party. And that bothers the Marsha also, because how could Mordechai be serving drinks at this terrible party for which the Jewish people were going to be punished for? But I think that it sets up an idea here that even the party is setting the stage for the conflict between the will of Haman and the will of Mordechai. This is all just foreshadowing, and that's what the Midrash is trying to say. And we'll see that theme as we go. We are three lines from the bottom at the very end of the third line. That finishes the first paragraph of the Megillah, the first eight verses, and we darshan almost every word. In the vocabulary sheet, I made a list of exactly which words are darshan, and there's only a few that are not. So almost every word. And now we continue on to the second paragraph, verse 9 in the Megillah, and it says, Gam Vashti Amalka Asta Mishte Nashim. Also, Vashti the queen made a party for women, Beit HaMalchut, in the house of the king. So this was in a separate location in the house of the king. Now, the Gemara thinks it should have said, Beit HaNashim Mi Bayele. It ought to have said the house of the women. And as Rashi understands it, the house of the women would have meant a modest place, a place that was concealed from the eyes of men. But the house of the king was a public place. In other words, this was an immodest gathering of women. Amar Rava, Rava says, Shnehem lidvar avera nitkavnu. Both Ahasuerosh and Vashti, Shnehem, both of them, lidvar avera, nitkavnu, intended to do a wicked thing. They were together, they were in cahoots. Both Ahasuerosh and Vashti were interested in turning this affair into a licentious affair, Or in other words, the way Rashi says it is, Ahasuerosh wanted to fool around with other women, and Vashti wanted to fool around with other men, and they kind of had an open marriage in that way. That was their intention. Both of them had the same intention. Hainu da'amri inchi, this is what people say, it's a common folk saying, Ihu bikare, he is like a big pumpkin, the itite, and she is like a little pumpkin, meaning they are of the same variety. We're going to stop there. We exactly just went over one word into the beginning of Yud Bet Amud Bet, and we'll continue in the next recording. Have a wonderful day.